Megan Mitten, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So I gather we're facing another rule change that went into effect midnight on Saturday. And I'm wondering if we can just start from scratch. We'll ask listeners to forget about any rules they thought they understood were in place before or after the last changes that were made, and just look at, you know, things as they are as of today. So as of today, people traveling into New Brunswick are required to self-isolate for 14 days unless they meet a list of exemptions. Can you go over some of those for us?
Yes. So I am pleased that government listened to me and reinstated some of these exemptions. And so some of the exemptions include someone traveling for a medical appointment. And so this includes people coming from PEI or Nova Scotia into New Brunswick, or the other way. So New Brunswickers going into Nova Scotia or PEI for a medical appointment and for custody agreements and for child care. So those people are exempt from the testing and isolation requirements that were in place for the last 2 weeks. So that exemption now is reinstated. So I'm pleased about that. Government also announced on Friday, and then it came into effect Saturday at midnight, that workers and post-secondary students and those who are operating transportation, like commercial transportation, so like truckers, for example, are all required to do weekly testing. And so that counts for people coming in to New Brunswick and going out. So that is new. And unfortunately, once again, the rules have been rolled out in an unclear way, and the communication from government is still leaving some gaps in information and some questions unanswered. And I know that people are really frustrated, but I can try to answer as many questions as I can. But I know that it's been quite confusing for a lot of people. And then there are still compassionate exemptions that are being granted. So for example, an end of life visit with an immediate family member, those require approval and people need to go through the Red Cross to request an exemption for that type of a trip.
Okay. So those are more of a special case, but these categories, mm-hmm. Now that's interesting because, you know, what I gathered over the weekend from the rules were that, you know, people with medical appointments and custody arrangements and daycare, that's those categories, that they were sort of under the same umbrella as the people who were working regular, daily commuters. So what you're saying is they are not.
That is what government announced in the press conference on Friday, and it was not correct.
Oh, dear.
I read the mandatory order, which is the long legal document that that has these rules in them, and so that's where I was able to find what's really happening. And so there are exemptions for custody, childcare, and for medical appointments within the maritime provinces, basically. But mm-hmm. and specialized veterinary care was added as well.
Okay. Previously, those categories were going to be subject to something called work isolation. Does work isolation still play into any of these rules? And what does it mean? And is it still something we need to understand?
I don't think that generally people need to worry about work isolation now. It is still a category that exists, but they were trying to apply it to people with medical appointments, but it was really created for, let's say there's a worker from Nova Scotia who needs to come and do some sort of work in New Brunswick. And so it was a way for that person to come and do that work, but otherwise they would be like isolating in their hotel room, ordering in their food, not coming into contact with anyone, and then going home. It was really designed for that. And so that category still exists as far as I know, but it's no longer being applied to people with medical appointments, which is where the issue really was coming into play, because suddenly people who were going for care in Amherst, for example, from the Sackville area, were being required to do work isolation kind of out of nowhere. So that we shouldn't have to worry about work isolation except for specific work groups. The real new thing that that's happening is that workers who travel, you know, cross the border daily, commute across, are required to do testing. And the main complaints I'm receiving are really that people just don't know what the rules are. There's a lack of clarity around what the testing requirements are. And there's worries about having to drive to Moncton weekly. So I am hearing that, you know, and I've been advocating for months for there to be a testing site in Sackville. I'm hearing that there will be in the next few days, for whatever that's worth. So I'm hopeful that it will open soon and people will at least be able to get their testing here, because I know that's an extra burden for people to have to drive to Moncton weekly and have to deal with that extra stress. So hopefully it'll open soon, but it is frustrating that it isn't open yet.
Mm-hmm. And the government has made that public commitment. They haven't announced the location in Sackville, but they did say on Friday, within a few days, we should know. So that announcement should be like imminent.
That's right. Yeah. So anytime now.
Okay. In the government update on Friday, at one point, mm-hmm. Chief Medical Officer of Health Jennifer Russell said, right now we have travel restrictions that are based on our other borders with Quebec and Maine. But she didn't think at the time that they applied to PEI in Nova Scotia. And I'm gathering that's because those rules are designed in a way for the Quebec and Maine border. Do you think that we should have different rules for the Aulac border or, you know, the PEI in Nova Scotia, essentially?
Yes, maybe not every single rule would need to be different, but yes, that's what I've been pushing for since last year. And especially when they started to crack down in, you know, especially this month when they brought in those rules for people with medical appointments, for example, But since last year, I've, you know, had written to the premier and said, please take into consideration that the Nova Scotian PEI borders are different than Quebec and Maine. That needs to be part of the policy making to actually look at what the situation is. These are very different borders, very different communities, and the cases of COVID, it's a very different situation in these regions. This is the first time that we've really had in the mandatory order that there are differences. So I'm very pleased to finally see that. And I want that to be carried forward, that they actually look at what is needed in the different areas and make decisions that take that into account. So this is the first time that in the mandatory order that I'm aware of, that I'm seeing that it actually specifically names Nova Scotia and PEI as you know, they're labeling it as different, and that is more accurate than it was.
All right. So you're happy with these current changes then?
With some of them. I am very happy that government listened around the, you know, for example, people were having their surgeries canceled, but for no good reason. So I'm glad that they listened to that. And I hope it opens the door for them understanding that this is a different community here than what's happening at the Quebec border, what's happening at the Maine border, that our communities are so tied and people go get medical care across the border all the time. There's custody agreements that are very close to the border, that child care needs can still be met. So I am pleased with that. What I am very worried about, though, is that with these rule changes, and especially requiring workers to get testing, the rollout of the information has been really inadequate and unclear and inconsistent. And I'm very concerned, and this happened when we had the border checkpoint too. I'm worried that the staff who are, you know, on the other line, under the line, when you call the help aid line to ask questions, that they haven't been properly briefed and trained, because people are getting inconsistent answers about if they need to self-isolate or not, and different things like that. So I'm really concerned that the poor communication continues to be a really big problem, and that contributes to a lot of the stress and uncertainty that people are having to deal with.
Mm-hmm. I, you know, here at CHMA, we did hear from someone who had been rejected for travel registration for medical appointments. Now, this was before these recent changes. This was under the situation between January 8th and this Saturday. have people been bringing things like that to your attention? And I mean, I guess part of my concern is that, when I think of this person's case in particular, I wonder if the people who are looking at travel registration requests are, you know, are approving them or disapproving of them based on the actual current rules, or if they're being misinterpreted.
In some cases, I am concerned that the information people are given, I don't know as much about those specific cases with the travel registration. Mm-hmm. There are people who have applied and been denied, and then they've applied again and been approved. So it kind of shows they should have just been approved in the first place. Mm-hmm. I am concerned as well with the rules that people are being told, that they are sometimes being misinterpreted and people are being given incorrect information or at least inconsistent information. And so I'm trying to do my best to get, you know, solid answers in writing that I can share with people, because I really don't want to give people the wrong information and then end up with a fine. But it's very frustrating that that there's not clear information and sort of clear guidelines even for the, you know, travel registration. I know that one of the issues is there's a lot of gray area with people's lives. You can write rules, but if you don't understand how it's applied in practice, then it kind of all falls apart. And I think that's what keeps happening.
All right. All right, Megan, is there anything else that people should know about the border? Should they still be getting in touch with you if they have any issues?
Yeah. So, I've, you know, received dozens, and more than that, dozens and dozens and dozens of emails where people shared their stories, which I did share with the premier, and I didn't receive a direct response, but the rules got changed, so that's good. So thanks to everyone who shared their story. People can still get in touch with me. I'm trying my best to answer as quickly as I can and to get answers to their questions. For those who do need to get testing, there has now been an update made on the travel registration website for the government of New Brunswick, which is good because it has a bit more information. It even has a link you can click to make your testing appointment. And when you go, when you get your appointment, they'll call you to make an appointment, is my understanding. Request for an appointment in Sackville. I don't know when it's going to be open, but it's worth asking just in case when they're booking you, it will be open. So I would suggest keep asking, and hopefully it'll be open soon, and that will make people's lives easier.
All right. Thanks very much, Megan.
Thank you, Erica. Take care.